Well, last week, I gave a message on God-given opportunities, and that message I was I gave you a little story that was found in the book of Luke in chapter 10, around verse 30, you know, 30 to 37, and it was speaking about the Good Samaritan, how there was a wounded man on the streets that had just been robbed by thieves, and how this Good Samaritan came to him, to his aid, for his help, amen. And right before that, there were some religious leaders, Levites, priests, my gosh, Pharisees, that just walked right by him and saw this man sitting on the side, injured, wounded, and totally ignored him, amen. And they looked at that situation as an inconvenience, a hindrance to their walk on the way to their home. And that's not of God. You know, the God says not just to love God with all your heart and with all your might and soul, but the word says love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And I want to go and continue on into that message. Amen. No, we're all called to care for each other, especially those in the house of faith. The caring begins right here with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And then we as believers and disciples and followers of Christ, we need to take that same care and concern, that same love that we have for one another, and take it outside of these four walls and give it out unto others. And what God is saying today, God wants us to live a life that is consistent with God's own righteousness. Amen. Our life should not change from one day to another. No, you should be consistent every day, walking in the righteousness that's already imputed in you by Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Remember, you have the Lord himself residing within you. Hallelujah. So I want to begin in the book of Romans today. And we're going to go to chapter 15. And again, this book was written by Paul. Paul wrote so many letters in the New Testament. And these are letters that will build you up. These are letters that will encourage you. These are letters that will correct things in your life that may be going wrong or may be going into the wrong directions. This is a book where he speaks about salvation. He speaks about justification. He speaks about the law of God. He speaks about the grace of God. Amen. But I want to begin in Romans chapter 15, and we're going to go to verse 1. Hallelujah. How many know that God is good? Amen. My Lord, He gives us this inspired word to edify the body of Christ. Amen. So Romans 15:1, it goes like this. This is Paul speaking to the church. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. And that word, it's not really heard of in many ways. But listen to this. We ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. And that's written in the Old Testament. And we're going to go there later in Psalm 69:9. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in essence, what this scripture is saying, the faith that we have in Christ, it has freed us. And we sang many songs about freedom today. Amen. The faith that we have in Christ has freed us to live in the freedom for the good of others that result in the glory of God. And God is saying to us today, live in such a way that you strengthen the weak. So that word, scruples of the weak, that means the vessels, the weak vessels that are in the body of Christ. Let me tell you something. Everybody in here, we are at different levels, amen, of maturity in Christ. Some of us are weaker than others. So what God is saying, live in such a way by strengthening the weak in Christ and commit to build one another up.
Amen.
Amen. So what God is saying, you know, the building up starts here in the house, inside the house of God.
Amen.
Some of us, because of certain circumstances, some of us may be going through grief because of a loss of a loved one. So we, as the body of Christ, we have to come together and lift that person up. Lift that individual up. Bring peace into his heart. Bring comfort into his heart. Bring in the word of God and just declare the word of God over their life. Because we're all going through different phases of life. Some of us walk in joy Monday through Saturday. The minute we're getting into the church, maybe something happened in the morning, and now you're walking in sadness. No, you know? And we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, when we see an individual coming with their heads looking down, we should go over and say, hey, sister, hey, brother, what's going on? What's happening?
Amen.
I can be an ear for you. I'm not giving you my opinion. I can just be an ear for you.
Yes.
Share with me what's happening. From me, it's not going to leave.
Amen.
Amen. So we should be in a place that we can trust so much each other that we know that when we run to a brother or sister in Christ, they are going to be there to edify you, to lift you up when you're down. Hallelujah. To give you the hope and the comfort that you so need at that very moment. Because you never know when you're going to be in their shoes. And you're going to need the same treatment back. Because no one is exempt from trials, sufferings, and tribulations. We all go through them, and we will go through them again and again and again and again. Why do I say that? Because Christ went through trials, tribulations, and sufferings again and again and again until he reached heaven.
Amen. Amen.
And until we reach heaven, we're going to go through life with trials, with challenges, with difficulties, with conflict. No one is exempt from that. So here, and I'm going to remain in this book. This book, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate these words into your spirit right now. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Since we, those who are strong in the faith, bear with the ones that are weak. Not to please ourselves. We're not doing it for ourselves. What the Lord is saying here, hey, help the weaker one that's suffering, that's going through something, help them out. Don't do it for yourself, but do it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Do it because it brings comfort to the other individual. Do it because it is the right thing to do. Do it because what would Jesus do in your place? He would run to that individual and he would hug them and give them words of comfort and say, I am here for you. You are not alone. We're never alone. It's like the song that we sang. We're not alone. I am not alone. I am not alone. Because the Lord is with you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In verse 2 says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good leading and to edification. We are all made in the image and likeness of God. We gotta build each other up. We gotta build relationship. As a matter of fact, you know what our mission is? It's to build relationships. It is our primary work of being a Christian. It's about building relationship, and we start with the Lord. We start by building a relationship with God. And then God brings you your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you start building a relationship with him.
Amen.
And there's a bond that takes place, and it should be a strong bond. There should be a strong bond of relationships in this house and over on Zoom. When I say this house, I am talking to you over on the other platform on Zoom. There should be a strong bond in our relationships. And let me share with you that relationships that are broken and in despair create barriers, not only for the flourishing of the church, but for the awakening of the unbelieving world. Amen. So when there's contention, when there's disagreements within the church, we gotta fix it, right? We gotta resolve. We gotta resolve all conflicts within the church, because if we don't, it literally is going to fester on the outside of these walls. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul is saying here, I know what's happening in the churches. I've been on different missionary trips. I know what's happening. And I'm here to tell you that we need to be pleasers of God rather than man. Amen? We need to look out for one another. We need to look out for our neighbors. Not yourself, but for your neighbors. Amen? And who's your neighbor? It's everybody besides you. It's everybody in the world besides you. It's your family. It's your church family. It's your co-workers. It's strangers on the street. Our neighborhood. Our community. People of this entire world. Hallelujah. And what happens is when there is an unresolved conflict within the church, it becomes a hindrance inside the church. It becomes an obstacle. Amen. And isn't that what the enemy wants? The enemy wants to kill, destroy, and steal the joy of the brethren. But as Christians, we can't allow that. So as Christians, the first step we gotta take is forgiveness. Talk to one another. Communicate with one another. Share the love of Jesus. Amen? It says that the love of God, the love, covers a multitude of sins. I say it covers a multitude of things. Because love covers all. Amen. And what Paul is saying here, listen, forget about yourself. Do for the other one. Do for the other one. Because let me tell you, when you put others before you, God will take care of you.
Amen.
When you pray for your enemies, God will take care of you.
Amen.
When you love on the unloved ones, because not everybody likes to be loved, God will take care of you. Because it's not your job. Amen. To change that individual, that's God's job. Amen? But we got to put others ahead of us. Amen? So what Paul is saying, remain in unity. Remain in harmony. Harmony, unity, the peace of God starts within the house. And because it's in the house, now we can work together. Now we can convene together. Now we can bond our relationships together. And now it's so much easier now to go outside of these four walls and do mission together.
Amen.
Amen. Because we become of the same mind. Amen. No, not that we become of the same mind. We share the same mind of Christ. Amen. So look at this. In Ephesians 4:3, let's turn there really quickly. Again, another letter written by Paul. Ephesians 4:3, Paul is saying, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, continue to make every effort to maintain the unity within each other inside the house of the Lord, a bond of peace inside the house of the Lord. Amen. We got to continue to stay in one mind, share the mind of Christ, share the unity. The Lord says, peace I give to you, not as the world gives it, but I give you peace that surpasses all knowledge. Amen. You're not going to find peace outside of God. You'll never find it. Amen.
Amen.
So in verse 3 it says, for even Christ did not please himself. Come on, we read the Gospels and Christ didn't please himself. As a matter of fact, he asked the Lord, this cup is pretty heavy, Lord.
Yeah, take it from
you. Just take it away, Lord. Are you sure you want me to carry this cup all the way? But then he says, but nevertheless, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Amen.
Amen.
So he took himself out of the equation and he says, Lord God, Father God, whatever you want me to do, I am going to do. And it is written in, I believe it's in Psalm 69:9. I'm going to turn there real quick. It says here, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches, meaning the insults, of those who insult you have fallen on me. Amen. So what is this saying? You got to replace you with God and me with Christ. It says, the insults of those who insulted you, God, fell on Christ. Every single insult, every single wrong, hallelujah, fell on Christ and was paid for by Christ. Amen. You don't have to go through any of that suffering. Amen. Because God took it all on the cross. But we got to do his work together in unity and in the bond of peace. Amen. If somebody comes to insult you, listen. Bless them. They insulted Christ. They mocked Christ. They rejected Christ. You know what? Turn around and bless them. Dust yourself off and keep it moving.
Yes.
Keep it going. Amen. Because your job is not to insult back. Do not pay evil for evil. For the Lord says, justice is mine. You want to insult? You want to mock? You want to reject? Go ahead and continue, but I'll tell you one thing, that the Lord God, he's our defender.
Amen.
He's the defender of those who love God. He's the defender of those who are in communion with God. He is the defender of those that are intimate, in an intimate relationship with God. Those that are insulting you, rejecting you, mocking you, amen, their day will come. Because justice will prevail, because God is the God of justice. And the Lord says, justice is mine. Avenge is mine. Pray for them. Bless them. Let them be. Because they don't know me the way you do. Amen. They don't know God. And if they did know God, they don't want to accept his sacrifices. They don't want to accept his commandments. So what we have to do as Christians, we need to dust ourselves off and keep moving forward. Because it's not your job to change them. That's between them and God. Amen?
Amen.
And that is a relief right then and there. The Lord Jesus took all our wrongs. He took all our debt on the cross. And that's why we live in freedom today. There is freedom. Let me tell you something. I don't care who insults, who mocks me, who rejects me. It doesn't matter. What matters is, God, am I pleasing you? Am I doing your will? Again, I want to be in God's perfect will. Not his permissible will, but I want to be in God's perfect will. So I'm going to do what it takes to be in his perfect will. Amen. Even if it hurts. Even if it means I have to reject a family member because that member's not being nice to me, even if it hurts, and God understands and God sees, my will is to do God's will. Amen? Overall, I'm here to please God, not man. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Let me tell you something. If you haven't read the Old Testament, you got to read the Old Testament, because there is so much richness and there's so much treasure in the Old Testament, because it depicts everything that happens in the New Testament. It speaks about God and Jesus and the Messiah, and it speaks about the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were present. In the beginning, they were present from the beginning of time. Amen. So Scripture teaches us. We learn from the prophets. We learn from the book of Joshua to be encouraged and know that the Lord God is with you. So go in the courage that God has given you. Not in fear, but in courageousness. Amen? Because you will not fail, says the Lord. You will not fail because the Lord God is with you wherever you go. That's why he told Joshua. Amen? And here in the scriptures, what today we live in the hope of glory. We live in the hope of Christ. We live with the hope that one day I'm going to get to heaven. We live in the hope that one day my children will be in heaven. We live with the hope, hallelujah, that one day we're going to see our loved ones that have passed before us. We live with the hope that one day I'm going to see my grandchildren come to the Lord. We live with so many hopes, because our hope is what keeps us going. It's hope in God. Hope in Christ, hope in our Savior, amen? And so there's so much meat here in Scripture. There's so much learning, and there's so many comforting words that we read in the Psalms and in Scripture about how God restores our souls, how God is there for us, how God will never leave us nor forsake us. How when we declare the word of God, if you really believe it and you see it, it will come to pass. There is so much hope in the word of God. This word is living. Hallelujah. It teaches you, hallelujah, to do everything according to God's will, God's perfect will and plan for your life. Hallelujah. And yes, the God of comfort. God is a God of comfort. God is a God of peace. God is a God of patience. Hallelujah. Can we say that we're patient with God? Hallelujah. Can we say that we really are patient with God, or we just do things our way? Like sometimes we get ahead of God because we want to do things right away. We think that we doing it is gonna come faster, the results. But let me tell you something. When you go ahead of God, you may wait even longer for those results to come through. So comfort. God is a God of comfort. God is a God of patience. A God of peace. Hallelujah. But again, he sent his only son. He did it for us. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. So that today we can live in the freedom. In the freedom to worship our true God in spirit and in truth. He did it for us so that we can walk in peace, that we can walk in in his joy, unspeakable joy. He did it for us. He paid all the wrongs for us, that so that today we can live in perfect harmony within the body of Christ. And the same harmony that's within our four walls right now is the same harmony that we should carry outside of these walls.
Amen.
The peace, the comfort, the love. Amen. So everything starts in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Like-minded. He's not, the word is not saying that you be of the same mind. No, what the word here is saying, that you be like-minded, that you share the same mind of Christ, that you share the same attitude that Jesus had when he walked here on earth, that the same attitude that God had for you before you were saved, that is the same attitude that we should have towards one another. Be sharing the same mind, not having the same mind, because we don't have the same mind. We are all made different. We're all unique in our own ways. If I tell you that this wall is gray, you may see it as charcoal blue. We don't have the same mind. We don't think alike, but we do share in common Christ. We do share in common that we are all united in Christ Jesus, and in Christ's eyes, we are one body, one mind, one church. Amen? Because we all serve the same God. Hallelujah. So we need to adopt as a church, we need to adopt as individuals Christ's attitude of unselfishness, Christ's attitude of servanthood, Christ's attitude of humility, Christ's attitude of obedience. We need to humble ourselves. If we want to go out there, outside of these four walls, and make a difference in individuals' life, we need to humble ourselves. We need to become unselfish. We need to have a heart of servanthood. We need to be in obedience to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what this requires? And it brings me back to Romans 12:2. We're not going to go there. But this, in order to be humble, in order to obey the Lord, in order to be unselfish, in order to be a servant for God, amen, it requires us to be consecrated first, to be set apart from the world. You see, when you become a believer, you cannot do the same things that the world is doing. When you become a believer, you cannot move and walk in your old shoes. No, you were born again. You were given a new spirit. Hallelujah. But your mind's still the same. Your body's still the same. And that's why it's so important for you to consecrate yourself, set yourself apart from the world, because you need to shift and you need to begin to transform yourself and your mind by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it requires you to consecration. It requires you to dedicate yourself, hallelujah, to the service and worship of God. Amen? Hallelujah. You want to be a servant? You want to be unselfish? You want to be walking humility and obedience? It's going to require some things from you. It's going to require you to dedicate yourself solely to God and obey God.
Amen.
And that's a sacrifice.
Yes.
Amen. And not a lot of us are willing to walk the walk. We can talk it out, but are you walking it out? Are you walking what you're speaking? Hallelujah.
Amen.
But not just consecration. It also requires transformation. Hallelujah. We need to renew our minds. Romans 12:2. Hallelujah. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to be approved by God? You want to be accepted by God? Hallelujah. You got to walk in His will. You got to walk in His righteousness. You got to walk in humility. You got to walk in obedience to Christ. You got to walk by not being selfish. Amen. You got to put others before you. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Isn't that a famous WWJD? What would Jesus do? Hallelujah. So, again, in order to share the same mind and attitude of the Lord, you got to start with consecration. Then you got to continue with transformation. You don't just change overnight. You become a believer, but you don't change overnight the way your mind works. Hallelujah. No. Remember, your spirit was reborn, but your mind is still has still the same mindset as it was the day before you got saved. Has the same mindset the day you get saved. Your body is the same. But now you got to start renewing your mind so your body and your mind can line up with your spirit, man. And that's where the struggle begins, right? Because every day there's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. There's a struggle. You want to do what God says, but then your body, your mind tells you otherwise. Oh, don't do it. You're going to lose out on this. Don't do it. You're going to waste time. Don't do it. And there's a constant struggle in your mind. And that's why we got to get in the Word. We got to get in the Word. We got to get in the Word and allow the Word to transform your mind. Hallelujah. To the ways of God. Amen. Transform your mind to walk in the attitude that Christ walked in. Transform your mind so you can become the servant of God. Hallelujah. And the humble individual that God called you to be.
Amen.
You cannot go outside these four walls if you're selfish, if you're not walking in love. Hallelujah. If you're not walking in humility, if you're not obeying the word of God, don't even bother to go see the homeless. Don't even bother to go see individuals, because you know why? Because they're going to pick you up. They're going to see the true you, because they can tell when somebody loves and deeply cares for them. They can tell when you have an attitude of Christ. They can tell when you humble yourself. They can tell when you truly love your brothers and sisters. They can tell it all. Amen. Because we have outside of these four, there are magnifying glasses on them. Amen. They want to see what are you really made up of. And they will devour you like a wolf. And that's why it's so important. What Paul is saying, hey, listen, everything starts within the body of Christ. Unity, the bond of peace. Humble yourself. Consecrate yourself. Transform yourself to the image of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walk in holiness. Walk with your righteous robe on, the one that the Christ Jesus placed on you when you became a believer.
Amen.
Walk in service unto God. The word says that what you do unto others, you do it unto me, says the Lord. Walk in love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Again, we're talking about unity. We're talking about having and sharing the likeness and mind of Christ, not having the same mind but sharing in the unity and in the mind of Christ. We all have the Lord residing within each and every one of us.
Amen.
And once you consecrate yourself, once you transform yourself, now you can demonstrate the love of Jesus.
Amen.
Because you've been consecrated. You've been transformed by the renewing of the Lord's word.
Amen.
Now you can demonstrate
love,
unselfishness, servanthood, humility through your deeds.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those are the requirements. So Paul is, in a nutshell, Paul is saying, hey, you can't do this alone. You need God. You need God. God has to be first in your life.
Amen.
God has to be priority in your life. Because if you follow what the Lord says, if you truly follow his statutes, if you really truly believe in his word, then you will consecrate yourself. You will place yourself apart from the world. You will renew your mind, and you will demonstrate the love of God through your deeds. Amen?
Amen.
We share one mind, and we also share one voice.
Yes.
And that is the voice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't have the same mind. We don't have the same voice. But we do share the same mind of Christ. We share the one voice, and that is the voice from Christ himself. The voice of the gospel, the voice of Christ's words, the voice of Paul's words that were given to him through Christ.
Amen.
This is not Paul's words. Yes, Paul wrote the book, and yes, it is part of his words, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can't leave the Holy Spirit out of our lives. The Holy Spirit is the one residing in us. He's the one guiding us. He's the one that's illuminating us. He's the one that's doing beep, 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 beep. Something's going on. Something's going on. Let me just reminded me of a story. Let's see. You know, you go shopping, right? You go shopping. You know those plastic things. I don't know what they call them. They put them on clothes. They put them on shoes. Right? And you pay for your goods. And you start walking out, and there's a buzzer that goes, beep, 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 beep.
Yes, right.
And what is that telling us? Something's wrong.
Yeah.
And it's telling other people, oh, somebody's stealing something. Something's definitely wrong. And what happens is, if you forsake that voice, if you forsake that beep, when you get home, guess what? We're not going to be worried to be able to wear either the clothes or the shoe, whatever that thing is on,
right.
Because if you try to remove it, it's going to stain your clothes or your shoe, whatever that thing is on. So what is that beep for? It's a warning. Warning. Hey, hey, get back to the register. Let them remove whatever they left on. In other words, they really didn't do their job, but that's not always the case, because what happens is, some people, workers, they put them on in the wrong places. And for some reason, when the cashier is bringing up your goods, they miss it. It happens, a mistake. But that beep is there for a warning. It's not for you to ignore it and keep walking. It's there to bring you back. Well, the Holy Spirit is the same way. The Holy Spirit gives you a beep, 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 beep. It's a warning. There's a little voice inside of you. Hey, 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 don't go there.
Right.
Hey, 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 watch what you're saying.
Right.
Wait a minute. You need to go there and forgive.
What do you mean I gotta forgive? What
are you talking about? Oh, yeah, you wanna humble yourself, then you need to forgive. Whether you're wrong or right, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God calls us to forgive. If God forgave us, why can't we forgive other people? It doesn't even make sense. If God forgave us when we were going straight to hell, how can we not forgive others for their wrongdoings? Christ is very clear. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be put down. You're going to be spoken about. All that. It's in the word. What's your job? Well, as Christians, like I said, let it go. Let it go. You know why? I told you why. Because what you represent, they don't like. You represent the light of Jesus.
And darkness and light cannot mix. So if somebody is mocking you, if somebody's rejecting you, if somebody's insulting you, if somebody's gossiping about you, guess what? They're living in darkness. We're the light. We are the light of Christ. Amen. And you got to believe that. And as a matter of fact, they probably want what we have. But they're not willing to consecrate themselves, to transform their minds, and to demonstrate the love of God. See, they're intentionally wanting to remain where they're at.
Right.
Selfish. Unlovable. Boastful. Prideful. What's the opposite of all the fruit of the Spirit? They intentionally want to stay there. Well, guess what? Iron sharpens iron. I am going to be with you. I don't want to be near you. If you're going to taint my character with Christ, I don't want to be around you. I don't. Because I carry the light of Jesus. And I got a mission. God's given me a great, God's given all of us, especially this church, God's given us a mission to go out there to the streets and help the needy.
Amen.
And help our neighbor. And help our community. So Paul is talking about the unity, the bond of peace starts here, right here in this house. In this house.
Amen.
And we cannot allow any conflict, any challenge to turn us away from resolving and from loving each other, especially from loving God.
Amen.
No, because we got a mission. We're building the kingdom every day. Amen. Because the kingdom of God is within you. But we have to go out there and build the people up.
Amen.
Edify the people up. Encourage the people. To let them know we're here with purpose.
Yes.
You're not alone, just like the song. You're not alone. The Lord is with you. The Lord has seen every single tear that you have shed, just like he's seen every single tear that we have shed. From the time we became believers, the Lord has in his palm every single tear that we have shed.
Amen.
And he doesn't take that for granted. Because our labor, the word says, is not in vain, church. It's not in vain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are called to bear the failings and the failures of the weaker vessel. If somebody's down, pick them up.
Amen.
If one of us is down, pick them up. That's our call within the body of Christ. Because if we can help each other out within the house, if we can love one another within the house, if we can have unity and the bond of peace within the house, so much easier when we go out there.
Amen.
Because the Lord is sending us two by two. Two by two.
Amen.
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 God has work for us. The word says the harvest is full, but the laborers are few. Why does he say that? Because not everyone in this house, outside the house, amen, it happens because of things that happen in life. Not everyone is willing to consecrate, transform, and demonstrate the love of God. Because they all go together. You cannot separate them. They all go together. Consecration, transformation, demonstration. They go together.
Amen.
And it starts here inside the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 3:16. Hallelujah. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Know what that word means? To admonish one another, to correct one another. And I'm going to stop there because let me tell you something. Don't be offended when people correct you. Because the word is telling us, the word of God dwells in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Christians should not be offended by other Christians. If anything, you need to have a humble spirit, and your spirit should be teachable. You want to correct me, and I've been corrected many times with words, the way I speak, sometimes the tone of my voice, and I welcome it. You know why? Because I want to be a better version of myself. I want to be more like Jesus. Amen? So if I need to be corrected, go ahead and correct me. If I said something that did not please you, tell me about it. Amen? I will correct myself through the word of God. I can't do it on my own, but with Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And it goes on to say, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen? When we come here in the church and we start praising and worshiping God, do you know that we are ministering to the Lord? We're singing, we are declaring the word of God to Him. We are glorifying His name. And when you leave these four walls, if you're still not walking in consecration, transformation, and demonstration, you're going to fall. And you're going to fall hard. God wants your all. God wants all of your heart. God wants you to walk in His perfect peace and His perfect love. Amen? Amen. It is our duty as Christians to forgive one another and imitate the forgiveness through which you were saved.
Amen.
God forgave much. And God forgives much every single day. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. All of us. We fall short of the glory of God. And yet, God still forgives. Hallelujah. God still forgives. Hallelujah. We got to serve one another in love. We got to forgive one another quickly. Quickly. Don't let it fester. Don't let it fester. We got to forgive quickly. So we can, again, demonstrate the love of God outside of these four walls.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was listening to, I think Lisette sent it. Somebody sent something from Pastor Annette Branch.
Oh,
amen.
Yeah.
Somebody sent something. I don't know why. I mean, I listened to the 20 minutes. Amen. And I tell you, you know, just by studying the word and reading about forgiveness, you know what? God is calling us to repent. And I have to agree with Pastor Annette Branch. God is calling the body of Christ to repent. You know what? Because if you don't repent, there's no forgiveness. You gotta repent. Yes, the Lord paid the price for us. Amen. And He paid it all our wrongs. But we need to confess our sins to God. And even I don't have the scripture in front of me, but it even says that we need to confess our sins to one another. Did you know that? Confess our sins to one another. That means, and I don't have time to go into it because I already ran over my time, amen, but there's you gotta have two or three people within your circle that you can really, really, truly be honest with. Because the word says confess your sins to one another. Why? Not so that you can bring condemnation, but that you can remind the individual the Lord has forgiven you. Keep moving forward. Amen? The Lord has forgiven you. It's key. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This word is so rich. I can't stop. I can't stop. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I gotta tell the story. Hallelujah. The Lord is not allowing me to stop. Hallelujah. I was listening. I'm constantly listening to the word. And if I'm studying my devotion, something sparks, or I listen to podcasts that really enrich my spirit. Amen. And I was listening to this podcast the other day, and it truly blessed me. And I know it's going to touch hearts of people. And I think that's why God wants me to share it. Amen. But this 34-year-old woman, and I don't know if you know her, is Jamie Lee Ward. Well, she's an entrepreneur. She's worth millions of dollars. 34 years old, diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Healthy as can be. Healthy as can be. Fit, healthy, has everything going for her. She's not married, no kids. At 34 years old, she's diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And in the talk, there's the talk. She tells you the story. But one thing that really touched my heart, she said, she's never had a good relationship with her mom. Never. Because it, growing up, it just wasn't there. Just wasn't there. And but during her time of tribulation, because this is a trial that she's been going through. This is, you know, imagine you getting a phone call from the doctor after getting lab work and they tell you got stage 4 cancer. How would you react? Well, she went to 8 different doctors, and they told her the same thing. Amen? But in her quiet time, in the crying out to God, in her intimate time with God, what the Lord exposed to her was, you have not forgiven your mother. And you need to let go. Because you're making yourself sick. Do you know, I don't know about you, and I, this is me speaking, this is Bernice speaking, I truly believe that many times we make ourselves sick.
Amen.
This is Bernice speaking, this is not from the word, this is Bernice speaking, I truly believe that what you have in the inside of you that is totally opposite from the fruit of the Spirit is tearing you insides apart. And when she says, he says to Ed, "Ed, that hit me so hard. I wrote a letter to my mom. I emailed her. I wasn't expecting her to answer me. And she just divulged herself, 'Mom, I forgive you, and this is not, blah, blah, blah.' I said, 'I would love to see you.' They hadn't seen each other in years. 'I would love to see you. And, you know, you should know that, you know, I've accomplished so much. You should be proud of me and this and that.' And I think the mother answered back and said, 'You know what? I don't care what you've done. I want my daughter back.'" Something like that. But hence, the story is that what's in the inside of her, all that bitterness, all that unforgiveness, literally made her sick. And today she's on her way to recovery.
Amen.
On her way to recovery.
Amen.
The doctors told her, "You're not going to make it to Christmas. As a matter of fact, you only have 2.5 months to live." And she's still living.
Amen.
Still living.
Amen.
She chose to forgive her mom after so many years. And I'm sure the Lord must have exposed so many other things. But I'm telling you, if you want that podcast, I'll share it with you. See me after service. Amen. But let me finish this. Amen. But I just wanted to share that. Amen. So we gotta serve one another. We gotta serve one another in unity, in spirit, in truth. Because united, hallelujah, we will do so much more. We will do so much more. And, you know, the word says one can send 1,000 to flight, but two can send 10,000 to flight. Amen. Together in unity, there is power. There's power united, amen. And my Lord, hallelujah. And you know, serving the neighbors, serving the neighborhood is a blessing. I come sometimes on Saturdays, and I not only have the opportunity to share the word, but I have the opportunity to edify the people. I have the opportunity to encourage the people. I have the opportunity to pray for people. Amen. And that's part of the mission and the vision that God has called me and as a church to do. Amen. So if you haven't volunteered on Saturdays, come. Come and be blessed. Be blessed and help out, meet the community that's within our area. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. I'm telling you, God is so good. Sorry, I'm not going to let you go. Philippians 2, 4, and 5. That's the last one, I promise. I promise. Philippians 2, 4, and 5. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2, 4, and 5. It says, let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So here, what Paul is saying, godliness avoids anything that brings disunity or division in the church. And what it does, it makes others primary, your primary concern. Hallelujah. It puts you on the side, but when you put people up front, when you make them first, hallelujah, is truly an honor and a blessing in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. So we need each other, because all of us has a different gift. All of us have a different talent that we can offer to the individuals outside of these four walls. And even within the body of Christ. Amen. It's like having an orchestra, right? When you have an orchestra, every instrument is different, has a different sound. But together, they make up one song. Together, they make up one song. So the unity of brothers and sisters, they embrace uniqueness. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. But we all have different talents and gifts that God is saying, go out there and share it with the world. Amen. You know, we have opportunity to serve others. So present yourself to others. Don't miss out on a God-given opportunity. They're there. The harvest is out there. And I leave you with this question, because the harvest is full and the laborers are few. And I leave you with this today. If you have a God-given opportunity to help your neighbor in any capacity, what will your response be? Ponder on this. Hallelujah. And ponder on the word of God and today's message. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Recording. Hallelujah. Stopped.